Nicodemus came from the shadows, slipping silently along empty streets. We come in the brightness of this morning together, also wanting to know Jesus more deeply, and maybe also coming with questions. Welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Welcome particularly to guests. Welcome to the regulars. And welcome to friends here and around the world who listen. I invite you to take your blue hymnal and turn to page or song 102.
Thank you.
I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Come, all who need help. The Lord will not let your foot be moved. The one who keeps you neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Come, all who need blessing. The Lord will keep you from evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Lift up your eyes to the Lord, the one who sent Jesus Christ as salvation for the world. Come, all who long for salvation. Let us pray. Gracious and glorious Lord, we come, as did Nicodemus, with questions on our hearts and in our lives. We come hoping for answers and healing. We also carry doubts about ourselves, doubts about our world, and even about you. Give us now healing and openness to the wind of your Spirit, that we may receive your word, your will, and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please take the bulletin insert as we rise, O God, to meet you. We will sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5, skipping verse 3. For verse 1 and 2, please just sing the melody, top line in unison. And for verse 4 and 5, you can pick to choose to go to the second line if you'd like, or stay on the first line. 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
And now please turn in the blue hymnal to number 136, From the Depths of Sin.
We open our lives in confession. It is safe and it is right to do so. Let us pray. Like Nicodemus, we come to the Word with many questions. Like the Pharisees, we can be captivated by correctness, intent on right answers or respectable religion instead of living faith. We remember those times we have not lived the great gift of love that you have given us. Have mercy on your people gathered before you. Strengthen us in the certainty of your forgiveness and enduring love for the world. For God so loves us in success and failure, in sickness and health, in our best times and our not so good times. Teach us how to respond to this greatest of gifts with lives full of grace, bearing fruit in our own love and our own forgiveness, witnessing always to your glory and graciousness. For God so loved the world, enough to become one of us, enough to suffer along with us, enough to offer new life for us. For God so loved the world. We name this in the name of the Father and the Son and the wind of the Spirit. Amen. Sisters and brothers, I invite you to rise for the words of assurance. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn it, but that the world might be saved through him. Through the saving love of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and blessed. And now, with this joy and certainty in your hearts, extend your hands to your brothers and sisters, giving the peace of Christ, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding,
"Amen."
We invite the children to make their way forward to hear what Jeanette has to bring.
To everyone. I think the basket's been passed. Here we go. Wonderful. Good job. Well, last Sunday, Paula talked to you about this cloth. I don't know if you remember that, and I don't know if you had a chance to touch it, but it's a rough burlap cloth. And she talked about it representing the wilderness. Talked about a time Jesus went away, had a little quiet time, and I think we practiced being quiet and being still. We have a second layer. And before you go back to your parents, I want you to touch it because it's very soft. And if you like to touch things and have the feel of them, it represents the night. We have a story about Nicodemus this week. Nicodemus, the story is found in the Bible in the Gospel of John in chapter 3. Do you know anything about Nicodemus? Well, he was a very important man among the Jews. He had a lot of education. He was a member of what they called the Jewish ruling council. And I don't know quite what that would compare to today, but he might be like a pastor or a seminary professor, someone who's studied a lot. We think of them as being pretty smart in biblical things. And so he had a lot of knowledge, but he was an important person, but he at night, sort of in secret, went to see Jesus. And he had some questions, some things he wondered about. And so he didn't really ask Jesus, at least in the first verse that I read. He just said to him, "Rabbi, teacher," in a respectful way, said, "We know you come from God because of all the miracles you're doing." So he recognized that Jesus was doing important things from God. And Jesus answered him, and it puzzled him. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "No one can come to the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Now, Nicodemus is pretty smart, but this is where his mind went. To a baby. Because he's a grown man, a grown person. And you think of babies, small babies being born. So Jesus' words puzzled him and made him wonder, well, how, I'm a grown person, how can I be born again from my, he was thinking, from my mother's belly. Isn't that sort of strange what Jesus said? And he was perplexed, and rightly so. So Jesus answers and says, well, you must be born of water and the Spirit, or some say born from above. And he compares it to the wind and the Spirit of God, making things new. And Nicodemus is still puzzled. He still wonders, and he said, well, how can this be? And Jesus went on to teach many, many things in the rest of that chapter, or the first part of the chapter. I think Nelson's going to preach on some of the other things in that chapter. What I want to concentrate on this morning is that Nicodemus had lots of questions, just like us. Don't you wonder about a lot of things? Don't things about the Bible and God sometimes puzzle you? Yeah. They do all of us. They did Nicodemus, and he was really knowledgeable. And so what I want you to remember as you live and grow is that you're going to continue, even when you're bigger, to puzzle about things. I still have lots of questions. I bet those who are above 90 years old in our congregation also have some questions. But along with their questions, they have some wisdom. And they can share that with us. So as you grow, and as you learn to love God more and more, and read the Bible more and more, and you have more and more questions, I want you to be like Nicodemus and go ask somebody. You don't have to go at night. It's okay to ask questions. You talk to God, ask God. Second of all, read the Bible, welcome. Read the Bible. You'll get some answers from here. Talk to your parents. Talk to your Sunday school teachers. Talk to your pastors. Talk to people in our congregation. I want you to just stand up and look around at our people, or get on your knees and look around at all those people. If they don't know the answer to your question, they'll find somebody who does, and they'll pray with you. So I want you to remember to be like Nicodemus. Always ask questions. That's how we live and grow. Don't be afraid to ask them, but don't be afraid to ask the people in church with you. We can help one another. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for these children. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to bless us, the adults, as we mentor them and teach them and love them as they grow older. May we all learn to love you more through your word, through prayer, through the other people in this church. May we learn and live and grow until our life on earth is done. Amen. Now, just touch this lightly, and then you may go back. Touch the roughness, and then touch the softness of the night.
Our preacher this morning is Pastor Nelson, bringing the Word of God. Let us pray. May the words of Nelson's heart and the meditation of all of our hearts Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
There perhaps was no person in national leadership whom I despised more when I was in college than Chuck Colson. Colson was the chain-smoking, hard-drinking SOB lawyer who was special counsel to President Richard Nixon in the White House, steering the president into unethical activities such as planting false evidence on political foes, breaking into the office of a psychiatrist of the political adversary that aggravated the president to steal personal information. Chuck Colson was behind those dirty tricks, that's what they were called, and famously declared in writing that if Nixon asked him to do so, he would walk over his own grandmother. I could never have imagined that someday I would sit at table and break bread with Chuck Colson as a beloved brother in Christ. In the 1973 Watergate scandal, and as that broke, Nixon was exposed for his illegal activities as president. Nixon resigned. Colson was among those put on trial, and he went to prison. And as this whole sordid affair became public, Chuck Colson met Jesus. The friend who led Colson to Christ knew that he needed Christian friends in Washington, D.C. So he phoned a Christian senator named Harold Hughes. Now, Hughes was a Democrat, a longtime opponent of Richard Nixon. And when Hughes learned that it was Chuck Colson who supposedly had become a Christian and needed a mentor, he uttered a stream of bad language and hung up the phone. But an hour later, Senator Hughes, the Christian senator, got back on the phone with the man who had told him about Colson's conversion. "I'm sorry," he said. "The way I acted is not the way Jesus would want me to do. If you'll forgive me, I'll meet with Colson. But it has to be after 11 o'clock at night. It has to be out in the countryside." Nick, can we have the handheld mic, please? John 3:1-10.
Juan 3:1-10.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God."
Había un hombre de los fariseos que se llamaba Nicodemo, un principal entre los judíos. Este vino a Jesús de noche y le dijo, "Rabí, sabemos que has venido de Dios como maestro. ¿Por qué nadie puede hacer estas señales que tú haces, si no está Dios con él?"
Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?"
Respondió Jesús y le dijo, de cierto te digo, que el que no naciere de nuevo no puede ver el reino de Dios. Nicodemo le dijo, ¿cómo puede un hombre nacer siendo viejo? ¿Puede acaso entrar por segunda vez en el vientre de su madre y volver a nacer?
Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit."
Respondió Jesús, de cierto te digo, que el que no naciere de agua y del espíritu no puede entrar en el reino de Dios. Lo que naciere de la carne, carne es, y lo que ha nacido de espíritu, espíritu es.
Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
No te maravilles de que te dije, os es necesario nacer de nuevo. El viento sopla de donde quiere, y oyes un sonido. Mas ni sabes de dónde viene ni a dónde va. Así es todo aquel que es nacido del Espíritu.
Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?"
Respondió Nicodemo y le dijo, "¿Cómo puede hacer esto?" Respondió Jesús y le dijo, "¿Eres tú el maestro de Israel y no sabes esto?"
The word of the Lord.
Palabra de Dios.
Nicodemus, a Pharisee and prominent voice in Jewish power elites at Jerusalem, came to Jesus by night. Pharisees loved and studied the Bible. They tried to apply biblical principles to daily life. Some Pharisees, such as Nicodemus, were rabbis. They were teachers who led Bible discussion groups in synagogues throughout Palestine and the diaspora. Josephus says there were some 6,000 Pharisees in Palestine at the time of Jesus. What we have in John chapter 3 is rabbi to rabbi conversation, a meeting of peers to talk about perceptions of God's activity in the world. There was a growing sense in Judea at that time that the end was approaching, that something big politically and spiritually was about to happen. Multitudes were eager to hear Jesus teach. People flocked to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. But in fact, terrible war with Rome came, and a generation after Jesus' ministry, the holy city was in ruins. In this charged atmosphere, Nicodemus was a seeker who approached Jesus with a statement rather than a question. "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And the signs that Jesus had performed were to change water into wine at a wedding, and overturn tables in the temple court. Both of these probably got quite a bit of attention and were seen by some as positive signs that God was beginning to act in history. Others hated Jesus and saw him as dangerous and misguided. When Nicodemus gave that compliment to Jesus about having the presence of God, Jesus responded by going right to the central concern of the era. Jesus said, and the concern was this, if a new kingdom was coming, who will be in that new kingdom? How can anyone be part of this new activity of God? And without even waiting for Nicodemus to ask that question, Jesus gives an answer that traditionally is translated as, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Modern Christians have often understood this teaching about rebirth to mean you have to repeat some particular personal formula of confessing sin and believing in Jesus, and then you will go to heaven when you die. Now, that may be true, but the kingdom of God is more than that. A kingdom is not the activity of an individual. A kingdom is a society. In the kingdom of God, members use power and money and sexuality in ways different from the past, in ways different from human or typical human conduct. In a speech to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in Atlanta in 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King said this, "One night a man came to Jesus and he wanted to know what he could do to be saved. Jesus didn't get bogged down in the kind of isolated approach of what he shouldn't do. Jesus didn't say, now, Nicodemus, you must stop lying. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you must stop cheating if you're doing that. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you must stop committing adultery. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you must stop drinking liquor if you're doing that excessively. He said something altogether different because Jesus realized that if a man will lie, he will steal, and if a man will steal, he will kill. So instead of getting bogged down in just one thing, Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, King continued, your whole structure must change. A nation that will keep people in slavery for 244 years will thingify them, that is, make them things. Therefore, they will exploit them and poor people generally, economically. And a nation that will exploit economically will have to have foreign investments and everything else, and then will use its military might to protect them. All of these problems are tied together. What I'm saying today is that we must go from this convention and say, America, you must be born again. Another way to translate the phrase born again from John 3 is born from above. The Spirit of God has to change our hearts. Power to change comes from God, not from us pulling harder on our bootstraps. Jesus tells Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Water, likely a reference to physical baptism. Spirit, the inner action of God changing us from the inside out. This transformation is personal and individual, but it cannot stop there. Being born anew or born from above is about a new way of living with a new vision of humanity that includes the church, but is bigger than the church. It's seeking a just society. It's caring for God's creation. creation. It's living for the well-being of all God's creatures, not just ourselves. We are tempted to think that Nicodemus was a little bit dull in his next question. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb? But this was typical dialogue between two rabbis. One rabbi pushes a point further and further to absurdity in order for the other to drive his point as far as he can go. And such debates usually were not hostile. You can still read the Mishnah today, the gathering of these kind of debates, hundreds of pages of this kind of polemic from the time of Christ. These were two rabbis working together to get at the truth. And Nicodemus, like Jesus, is a good rabbi. The evidence of being born again, Jesus tells Nicodemus, is the changed life and changed society. It's like the wind, Jesus says. You can't see it coming. You can't see the wind, but you hear the sound. And you see the trees wave and perhaps topple like they did in Indiana this week. In other words, when the wind of the Spirit blows through the life of an individual or community, things change. I believe Jesus said the next words to Nicodemus with patience and tenderness, not sarcasm or judgment. Are you a teacher of Israel? And you don't understand these things. Let me tell you the bottom line, Jesus says. God is acting in the world with great love and generosity to change humanity and change society. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have life of an eternal quality, life from above. Senator Hughes met with Chuck Colson for that midnight rendezvous. Colson was such a new Christian that he had never prayed aloud in his entire life. In halting words and gestures, Colson made his confession of faith. After 20 minutes of listening, Hughes got up, walked across the room, embraced Colson, and said, "We are brothers for life." Now, that's a nice conversion story that would leave me cynical if it were not for the way Colson spent the next 40 years. He first went to jail for a while for his criminal activity. He was prisoner 23226. It was not a special prison for high-class inmates. Colson had to scrub toilets and live the daily grind of ordinary street criminals in prison. But he learned to know scores of young men whose lives were broken by crime and hopelessness. Colson began to lead Bible studies in prison, and he called these drug dealers and murderers brothers when they came to know Christ. Almost immediately after his release from jail, Colson founded an organization called Prison Fellowship, a Christian ministry to prisoners and ex-prisoners. For the next 40 years, Colson spent much of his time in prisons. He visited hundreds of prisons in scores of countries to speak the gospel. He followed through, helping those who came to know Christ to tie into real churches upon their release. Prison Fellowship International today organizes thousands of believers, 45,000 volunteers in 120 countries, to witness to people that often are considered the enemies of society. I met Colson briefly in 2005 when I was at a gathering of seminary administrators in Florida, where Colson was spending the winter. One of the presidents invited him to lunch with us, and we had opportunity to hear about his witness, which, in addition to prison ministry, included work for human rights in various countries and an end to sex trafficking. Colson died in 2012. The man who declared as a young politician in the White House that, quote, religion is okay so long as you have as little as possible, ended up being born from above to commit his life to Christ. Jesus might put to us the same question he put to Nicodemus. Were you raised in a Christian home and still do not understand that your mind and spirit need to be transformed by a miracle of God's love? That you have to let go of pride and anger and sin that warp you so Christ can live in you? Are you a peace activist and a community organizer and do not understand that you are also a sinner who needs to be forgiven? Do you have a seminary degree and do not know that you have to be born from above so that you can live for the Creator rather than for yourself? When we give ourselves to God, we have power to do courageous and meaningful things with our lives. Later in John chapter 7, we learn that this Nicodemus went on to defend Jesus during debate in the Sanhedrin. Had to be a risky thing to do. In chapter 19 of John, we see Nicodemus bringing spices to the tomb of Jesus, probably a dangerous thing for a member of the Sanhedrin to do anything to honor the tomb of a man executed by Rome and by Jewish authorities as a threat to the social order. May we be born from above as individuals, so we have power to witness to God's justice and love effectively in a sinful and often violent world. Amen.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 342, At the Name of Jesus. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Please stand.
Thank you. It is time now for us to share with each other things that are happening in our lives, concerns that you wish to make the rest aware of. That was not proper English. Of which you wish to make the rest aware. Prayer requests, joys, some response to what you've heard or experienced this morning.